Okay, here's our final hour. Give you an opportunity to talk with Major Ed Dames about remote viewing right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Ed, if you saw something tragic in a remote viewing for a person, would you share that with them or would you not tell them?
Oh, it's a very difficult ethical question, George. I would probably beat around the bush until they asked me exactly what I'm talking about. That's probably the way I would, and I've had to do that before.
Now, the old Ed Dames would probably tell them right away, wouldn't you?
I'll say again, please.
Wouldn't the older Ed Dames have said that right away?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
You changed.
But I'm a kinder and gentler Dr. Doom now.
You have mellowed somewhat, haven't you? You have. Let's go to take some calls here, Ed. They're lining up for you. But as you look at all of this, what do you see as the most immediate pressing issues, this comet or North Korea?
The economy.
Really?
The economy. Because there's no way to save the economy. I said global economic collapse. I meant it. And when it goes, it's going to go fast. The house of cards, this Ponzi scheme is over.
Are we going to see any signs, or are we seeing them now?
Oh, yes. But that would require many more shows to many more hours to discuss. But any reasonable person can do their own research if they choose to and see that it's about to fall apart.
So what would you do with your own money? What would you do?
Well, that's why the gold and silver ore are important to me, because I can take that to a refiner, and they will pay me in whatever currency is around at the time, because you're going to have some type of lingua franca, something to buy gas with, something to buy food with, too. So let's say the dollar collapses overnight and there's a new currency, just hypothetically. The dollar's not going to collapse overnight. But you're still going to need to be able to engage in commerce. So there'll be something out there that would be used, the coin or fiat currency, another fiat currency. But the ones that are in use right now I don't want to go into the details. All I'm saying is that the economic situation is terrible. A year ago on your show, I said, well, we're looking at 20% unemployment just this year alone.
Yeah.
And that's going to be up to 40% sooner than we think.
Well, that's deadly if that happens. And, you know, that also causes riots.
Yes, we're looking at martial law. I've said that many times on Coast to Coast. There's going to be martial law. Obama is the last president that we're seeing, period. Things change.
What do you mean the last president? What happens
there's not going to be another presidential election as far as we're seeing. Obama is the last president.
So you're saying we will not have a 2016 election?
Correct.
Well, who's going to govern? Who's going to lead?
Chaos. Just,
are we going
I
back
don't,
to
I don't know what. I have not looked past 2014, and there's too much happening, confluence of events, and it's just too chaotic for me to put it. I have no time to put to look that way and try to put things together.
Are you talking Mad Max?
Oh yes, in many parts of the world, and in the U.S. We've been pretty spoiled for a long time in a lot of different ways, but that's going to end very quickly.
All right.
When the power goes out and the food's not on the shelves, yes.
All right, we go to the calls now. We're going to go to Tokyo right now on our Skype line. Kota's with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's actually 5:15 on Wednesday afternoon here in Tokyo.
That's right. My watch isn't working, but that's okay.
Yes. Go ahead. But it's a perfect timing for me to listen into Coast to Coast during work or after work. I've got a question, George and Major. The tension over here in Pacific region is just way too tense, and especially involving over this Northern Korean situation. I thought all of us, China, South Korea, would get along to somehow solve this problem, but none of us are getting along with each other, and especially with this madman. None of us can detect what's he going to do next. And Major, my question is this, especially with this Fukushima incident, which is not ending at all, and we've had over 123 earthquakes already this year, opposed to 98 in all of 2012. what is our future as self-ship, as
I may ask
about the Japanese and Japan?
Just northern Japan, you have no future. It's over. Fukushima took care of that. The next generation of children will watch what happened to it. It's the worst man-made disaster in recorded history, and people would say, well, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, uh-uh. Those were one-time events. They destroyed a lot of people and things, and they were over. The radiation dissipated. Fukushima is the gift that keeps on giving, and it's going to start destroying. It has already started destroying the northern part of that country, and that's a whole lot more serious than any of the live fire events that may or may not occur in the near future. And don't worry about North Korea.
And it's not giving in a good way at all. As a matter of fact, there's a story about beached sea lions on the West Coast here, and they think maybe it's because of the radiation that they might have gotten in the water.
Yes, of course, and the media is not reporting that either, because there's no way they can do it. Even the best that it can say is, as you've seen on the news today, it may take 40 years to deal with the Fukushima reactors, and I say that they're not going to deal. They cannot deal with it. It's a problem that cannot be solved. Chernobyl was concreted over, okay, and now there's more repairs to it. Fukushima, no. No, it will destroy that country. Yeah, but even now, many wealthy people already left Tokyo. The Japanese government is buying land in Burma, Myanmar, to be able to build alternative cities for people to live, because they know what's going to happen. They know perfectly well what is going on, what that radiation damage is going to do to not only children but adults.
Are we going to have other Fukushimas, Ed?
Yes. Uh-huh. Especially when we've got. Yes, we're going to have other accidents, too. That's why this sanctuary work that I've done for clients allows me to see where these zones are that are safer from these kinds of terrible tragedies in the very near future. But Fukushima is a disaster beyond belief.
Let's go to Mission Hills, California. Tony's turn on Coast to Coast. Tony, go ahead. You're on with Ed Dames.
Hey, good to be with you guys tonight.
Thanks, Tony.
Hey, Dames on. You know what? Right off the bat, I gotta say, I like that you don't sugarcoat anything. You say it like it is.
That's him.
Well, as a military officer, intelligence officer, you know, my commanders did not like me. They hated me. They just, Dames, you're sick. How's the first war going to start? Well, this is what's going to happen. Spetsnaz officer, Spetsnaz agent, Soviet special forces agent. Is going to lob a VR-55 grenade over the fence at our children when our children are on lunch break at school. VR-55 is nerve gas, blah, blah, blah. And I would go on like this. They said, Dames, you're sick. I said, this is the way our enemy thinks, sir. This is what they're going to do, because it will be militarily and decisively effective. And they don't like to hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm the very few that like to hear things straight up the way they are, you know? I had a quick question for you. I wanted to go to one of your speakings. I was wondering if you could buy tickets for that, or how would I be able to attend?
I'm going to speak to my terminal speaking events, I assume, are going to be in this fall in Orlando on the East Coast and Reno on the West Coast. And if you go to...
Orlando in September, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it's September. If you and October in Reno, October 5th, I believe, and September 14th. If you go to thekillshot.com, all that information is there. People can also call a 24-hour number if they want to. Easy to do it on the web. But truckers can't do that, so we have a phone number for truckers.
And you have had people remote view in roughly how quickly?
Well, through the DVD set, the LearnRV DVD set, if they go to learnrv.com directly, they can look at that set. That's a 4-DVD set, and they can learn how to remote view in about 4 months of practice. They can start being quite well. And if they go into my forums where I teach on the web, I'm semi-retired from teaching workshops, but I still teach on the web for free, the higher-level skills, and my professionals do this too. If they go there, they can really bootstrap their skills, because they can post their work, and then we evaluate it. We do all that for free, because this is our job.
Joe in Bloomington, Illinois, Indiana, welcome to the program, first-time caller. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Major Dames, I know you mentioned earlier the missing person is kind of an epidemic right now. I'm probably taking a shot in the dark by asking this, but I don't know if you're familiar with the name Lauren Spierer, S-P-I-E-R-E-R. She was an Indiana University college student that went missing back in, I believe, June of 2011. It made national news for a brief time. I don't know if you've ever run across that name or had any information on her.
No, I don't. And I'd say a good 90% of my work is almost solely missing exploited children, because children are innocent. Okay. They're not old enough to make decisions for themselves too. They're perfectly innocent, and the monsters that rape and kill them, you know, those kinds of heinous crimes. Those are the ones that I go after.
And how do they? What do they do? They abduct these kids and they ship them out somewhere. What do they do? How do they get them out of here?
Well, the ones in Eastern Europe are shipped out en masse. They're picked up, and you can study that. And it's mass transit in terms of sexual exploitation of children in Europe, especially Eastern Europe, and in our country. It's different in Japan and Canada, so somewhat. But in the United States, mostly what you've got is 12 to 14-year-old girls raped and murdered within 4 hours, and then dumped on the somewhere where their bodies can't be found. That's the epidemic that I'm talking about.
Is government cracking down on this?
No, the FBI can't. They don't have the time. These kids fall off the radar screen in 2 weeks. I mean, the only ones that remember them are their families.
Are these kids who normally leave home?
No, sir. No. In fact, those cases, I don't work, and I don't work family abductions either. Only missing exploited, Amber Alert. Only missing exploited cases where a child's life is in danger, and usually by the time that I get around to being in the field with them, they're gone.
Let's go to Kevin in Boston, Mass. Hey, Kevin, go ahead, sir.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good, Kev.
Something weird happened with me the other day. I mean, I've been a caller. I've called on, been on the show a few times. This has been going on throughout my life. I've told you this once, but when the Boston bombing happened, when they were looking for this guy, I'm a truck driver, and I forgot, Indiana or Illinois at the time. And I kept on trying to focus on this guy, like, where is this guy? Where is this guy? And all of a sudden, like you said, you know, like, you stop thinking, just let yourself go. And I kept seeing water. You know, at first it didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, maybe he's in the river hiding or in the pool. But then he turned out to be in the boat,
Yeah, what happens is when you focus on any idea, everything exists as patterns of information in this collective unconscious, in this global mind, it's a universal mind. And so the idea of this person is a pattern. And then if you focus on it, that it pulls in what's connected with it are all the other patterns that are immediately at that time that you're thinking, focused on that person, that event, all the ideas that are attendant, that surround him, is connected with him. And so since he's in a boat, and what pops in, that idea is present in your unconscious. Your unconscious knows he's in a boat, too. But when you look for a label in terms of left brain, right brain thinking, when you go into your memory, the idea that pops out is water, and the water is associated with the boat. So that's the way this stuff works. And we train viewers to make sure that we're far more precise in understanding how that process works.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It makes sense what you're saying.
Well, you were essentially remote viewing. You focus on the target, and you start downloading information. Now, what happens though is your imagination overlays. We have words for this in our business in vernacular. Your imagination grabs that and starts thinking about the idea that just popped in the conscious awareness, and that's what we train. When you're trained in remote viewing, you learn how to stop that from happening.
Okay, let's go next. We'll grab one more call before the break. We've got Jacob in San Jose, California. Jacob, go ahead.
George and Ed, there's a Fox News news commentator, Michelle Malkin. She had a campaign trying to find her cousin, a University of Seattle freshman that disappeared. She walked out of a Safeway one bright day and never was seen again. What can remote viewing do for missing adults? Is there any hope that remote viewing can give to those kinds of situations?
Yes, sir. A family member or a friend or an associate can go into the learnrv.com forums, my teaching forums, and in those forums, my professionals will occasionally take on cases like that and turn it into a project. I only handle, as I mentioned, the missing and endangered children.
Ed, you pinpointed, of course, Stephen Fawcett when he went down in the Sierra Nevada mountains. People doubted that, but you had that very close. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do. But it wasn't a pinpoint. It was just a general location, but was far different than all the millions of dollars that went into the search. But right now, we can pinpoint. Pinpointing is done now. In fact, that's how I can find gold and silver and kids. And unfortunately, my last case, I don't want to mention any names, the child was in the landfill and had been there for about a year. So I closed that case.
It's got to be a sad, sad job sometimes, Ed.
Yes, sir, it is. It is. But, you know, nobody can... somebody's got to do it. And the FBI, they have some great folks in the Bureau, but they're so busy with narcotics and counterterrorism stuff, there's no time left for these kids. So I have all these specialized skills as ops and training officer of the super unit, and I wanted to do something with it, and I made a choice.
Let's go to Ian at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hello, Ian. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
Basically, my question is, you know, I definitely understand the intenseness that he's talking about with all these possible catastrophes happening and all this. What I'm wondering is that, you know, if someone to give advice to, say a catastrophe does happen, you have a lot of water and you have a decent amount of food, is there anywhere you can sense in your remote viewing that would be safe to go, at least for a little bit, till maybe things got better, you know, like anywhere safe, like North America?
Yes, that's what all these clients that I've had in the past, hundreds, that personal sanctuaries where unconscious, I go into their own unconscious in conjunction with the matrix, the universal mind, and pull out all of these, all the factors that are, what places do they like, what geographies, and husbands and wives are usually different by hundreds of miles, but administrative factors. For instance, if I pinpoint a place that's safe for this individual, it's got to also be a place where their friends and relatives can make it. Because what good is it to survive all this stuff if your loved ones are dead? Who wants to live under those conditions, too? So unconscious, take all those things into consideration. It's the master problem solver. Yeah, that's what remote viewing does. And since unconscious is your best friend, and it is, it's something that tells you, don't go to Boston tomorrow, don't get on that plane or whatever. Its key purpose is to keep you alive. It is your best friend. So when you lean on it and you do it in a very structured way, this discovery of remote viewing, very structured, now you really got something going for you.
All right, we're going to be back with final questions with Ed Dames on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, first hour, Joshua P. Warren joins us with some more ghostly stories. And then, of course, our very special guest, Richard Belzer, joins us as we talk about his work, Dead Wrong, The Facts About Controversial Cover-Ups. Fantastic work. And Richard, of course, is also on Law & Order. He plays the part of John Munch. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Ed Dames. Ed, do you still play around with remote viewing? I mean, do you try to look at the far side of the moon and things like that?
I don't. I'm very interested in contact. So I do monitor the agencies, outside agencies, extraterrestrial agencies that are monitoring us. I look at them and I watch them. So that's what I use it for. Very important to me.
Well, you know, there's no question. Just over the years of talking to you, Paul Smith, Ingo Swan, Hal Puthoff, that this is a very powerful tool that people can use in their everyday activities if they know how to use it and use it right. How many people have this normal remote viewing ability, and then they tune it up and they get even better?
Well, you're talking about psychics.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'd say probably 85% of the population is psychic to some degree. But 15% to the other 15% to a very great degree. And as I've said many times, I can take a psychic, just like a basketball scout can watch a kid run in rings around his fellows, his peers, in a school lot and say, aha, I could make that kid not only into a professional, like I can make any remote viewer into a professional, I can make them into an all-star if they toe the line. So you've got, it's just like art, it's a skill. So you have to learn this, like art or music or anything else like that. It is a skill, and you may have the potential as a psychic, but that potential is not realized if you don't go to boot camp and learn it.
Well, that's a good point. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Linda in Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Linda, good morning.
Well, good morning, George, and good morning, Major.
Good morning.
And I'd like to thank you both for your service. I was a young girl traveling all alone, and so often the people in uniform protected me and normalized for me what was going on with wars and the service, and I cannot tell you how patriotic and how much I appreciate you all.
Thank
Not
you.
Just you two, but all of our veterans and service people that are active.
You're very welcome.
But I was calling, Major, to ask you, I wanted to ask you two questions, but perchance I only can ask the one. I heard on one of the programs with Coast to Coast that there is special preparation when you're doing remote viewing, such as sage or something to keep evil spirits out. Have I totally missed the mark on that?
Yes, you've totally missed the mark. There's no such thing. It's just like any other skill. If you would say the same thing about playing the piano or learning how to solve a math equation, it would sound just as silly.
Well, that's wonderful to know. May I say, George,
mm-hmm.
I apologize for your horrendous experience with the microwave, but
yeah.
Did such a service at coming out and talking to your listeners. At the time you went through that excruciating dilemma, there was a commercial running where a young girl comes home, throws her pizza rolls in the microwave, and she gets on the phone, then pops them in her mouth the second she opens the microwave, and they pulled that commercial. And so I believe, and I have nothing to base it on except my remote viewing, no, but that your experience got through to people, and it saved so many young kids.
You might be right. You know, and all we have to do is save one, and everything was worth it. That was a nightmare, Ed. I'll tell you about it one day when we're together.
Roger.
Ed, in terms of folks who want to go to your events and your conferences, learnrv.com, of course, you still have that as a website. What's the other one you have?
The best one, the all-encompassing one, is thekillshot.com. And for truckers, because truckers have it's hard for them to write down to, if there's a phone number that they can use, a toll-free number, 866-607-8439, or you could 866-607-VIEW, V-I-E-W.
Are you in the world of social networking now?
No, I never will be. I just have no time. The only time I social network is after hours at my workshops and live events, and then I do it in style.
All right. Let's go to Jeff in North Carolina. Welcome to the program. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for calling.
Hey, George and Major. Yeah, I was just listening to your program, and I was listening to Ed, and I have like a question about like recently, I want to say recently, probably about over the past couple of months or so, I've just been getting this feeling of like I don't know, like my conscience or whatever is wanting me to like I guess starting to like prepare for stuff, like prepare for, I don't know, something's going to happen or something. I've been reading a lot of books on like, you know, survivalism, you know, first aid, stuff like that.
You know, when your unconscious will try, whether it's something that's wrong with your body and in your dreams that tries to get through that. But Chet Snow long ago wrote a book called Mass Dreams of the Future, and the idea there is that when things globally or very, very big events are about to happen. As I said, unconscious is an individual's best friend. You'll start to get hints of that, and whether it's in dreams or waking consciousness, you'll start to get hints of it, and you will feel antsy. And by God, what's coming over the horizon now, on all fronts, economically, militarily, in terms of pandemics, and most of all, in terms of El Sol, I can certainly understand that. Like I said, even Dr. Doom is starting to get scared, and that's a bad sign.
All right, thanks for that call. West we go. Tyson in Grantsville, Utah. You're on with Major Ed Dames. Go ahead, Tyson.
Hey, George, thanks for having me.
Hi.
Major, I wanted to share a quick experience with you and then ask what you would classify it under, whether it be a remote viewing or something else.
Sure.
But about 10 years ago when I was 18 in high school, I had a teacher, one of my choir teachers, and she was pregnant. And I've always had the ability to see things that are going to happen in the future. And this one was really distinct. I have a very visual mind. And I saw that she was having a miscarriage. And so I felt like I needed to ask her in class what she would do if she prepared mentally or emotionally at all in case she happens to have a miscarriage. And she said, well, I don't want to think about that. And I was like, no, I'm serious. Like, what are you going to do to prepare for that? And I told her that it's going to end up happening. And when she went home that night, she actually had a miscarriage. And she wasn't at school the next day. And I knew why. And then a few days later, the principal of my school, because she had told the principal that what I had shared with her, and she asked me, she said, hey, Tyson, I heard that you told your teacher that she was going to have a miscarriage. And I was like, yeah, I did. And she's like, and it actually happened that night. She's like, that's pretty, I don't remember exactly, but basically, impressive or, so I've had a lot of different experiences like that in my life, but that's one of the most vivid, and that's one that I saw detailed the most in my mind, and I felt impressed to talk to let her know so that she could prepare for it. And would you consider something like that as remote viewing, or would you classify it as something else?
I'd classify it as clairvoyance. And there's a number of people like you.
And there's a fine line there too, Ed, isn't there?
No. Remote viewing, remember, is a skill. We'll take a skill, a natural innate ability like Tyson's. We'll take that innate ability and we turn it into a skill. Just like everybody has a natural ability to speak a language, but unless you have a structure, you're not going to be able to speak except in garbled whistles and grunts. You have to have a structure. And then you take the innate ability to speak at 3 or 4 years old or two, and you structure it. And now you can learn Spanish or English or whatever family you grew up in, or be a polyglot. So he's natural clairvoyant. We take that natural psychic ability, and me as a coach, turn it into a skill.
Simple as that. Let's go east. Diane's in Hartford, Connecticut. Hello, Diane.
Hi, George.
Howdy.
And Major Dames. It's an honor to speak to you. In fact, blessed be to both of you for your work.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot, and I'm sure everybody listening does as well. A quick question, really. Other people like Doris Cannon and Edgar Cayce, they have created maps of safe places in the future. And I know what Major Dame said earlier this evening, about he wasn't going to let everybody know where he thought safe places were going to be, but is his ideas along the lines of theirs?
Those maps that other people have done were related to pole ships. And I am not talking about a pole ship, although, believe it or not, we do perceive that idea in the future, and we don't know how long in the future, but it is coming. So, no, this is specific. specific to solar influences, the impact of them, plus radiation plumes. That's these areas too. And what I'm going to give maps of out at those two speaking engagements are the zones, the impact zones that are the most dangerous that we know of.
Is there any place to hide, Ed? I mean, realistically,
yes,
people are stuck in areas. You know, they can't leave their jobs.
Oh, yeah. No. Many people are going to be faced with the Mad Max scenario. Many people are going to be faced with these kind of things. And of course, I know that. There's old people living in cities and not going to be able to get out. Yeah. And no, it's not going to be a happy situation when the power goes out and when unprecedented events happen in the sky and when you're trapped in the city because the Department of Homeland Security or somebody else says that you can't leave. You know what I mean?
And that could happen.
It will happen.
Let's take a few more calls. JG in Santa Barbara, California. Hey, JG.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Good. Very good.
Good. The question I'm asking is, and I've seen the training programs that you have, Major, and I've been looking at them, but kind of a two-part question. One part being, are there any skills that I need or you're looking for if you're going to, say, take somebody on as a trainee? And the second part would be, when you do this remote viewing, can you do it for yourself or just for other people? And I appreciate your answer.
Okay, yeah. I'm not. I have my own professional team. Matrix Intelligence Agency has assets, highly trained assets, that with many, many collectively hundreds of years of experience. So I'm not hiring. But yes, most of the people that learn remote viewing do indeed use it for themselves. For instance, to find lost items is a very, very common thing. You lost your wallet, you lost your dog, you ran away, or something else like that. You can go on to the forums at learnrv.com and look at examples of people who have posted their work saying, hey, I lost this or I lost that, and look, I found it because of this session, and they post the work, so you can see how it works in those sessions.
All right, Rob's Vancouver, British Columbia. Rob, you're up with the Major. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I got to say, at first, I'm glad there are parts in interior BC that are safe, because that's I've been planning ahead that way for the last 2 years. And on a quick note, before I ask my question, if you can find concentration of gold and silver, you know, Vancouver's a hub for junior mining companies in the world, and I'm sure there's a lot of people up here that'd be willing to pay a pretty penny to get your service.
I have clients. I've actually had clients who became friends in BC, and one of them was actually hired me to look for platinum nuggets. There's a river in BC. It's the only one outside of Siberia that actually has platinum nuggets. And so I found the gold and platinum nuggets for that client.
Wow. The question is, I mean, Canada has a very strong banking system. You know, it's a very focused resource economy. We have lots of oil, lumber, grain, et cetera. But we're so intertwined with the States. Have you ever looked at what the Canadian currency might do? And then, you know, what might happen in Canada? Our population is so close to the U.S. border, although we have all these resources. I don't know if you've looked at anything along those lines.
No, I have not looked at things specifically along those lines, but there is a curious thing about the U.S. citizen sanctuaries. There are many, many sanctuaries in Canada, but concentrated in Saskatchewan, Alberta, and to a certain degree Manitoba. However, they are desirable locations, but American citizens never end up there because administratively your unconscious knows that if something goes down, you'll be kicked out of Canada because you do not have a visa. You do not have permission to stay. So it's senseless to know about, for an American citizen, to know about these sanctuaries in Canada where the government's going to send you away when the stuff hits the fan.
Quick review. You're concerned about the kill shot. Are we talking about this year, Ed?
I'm talking about when that comet, that Ison comet, that Ison group's discovered
comet, Ison, that's right,
passes through in the winter. At that time, Start getting ready. Get ready. And I feel that if I'm not in place this year, especially by the spring of 2014, then I'm not going to be able to make it.
You know, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on this one.
Well, I expect you to do it. You would. But that is the best that I can do, and that's what I'm doing for myself.
Sacramento we go. Jerry, you got a minute. Go ahead.
Well, hi, George. This is Jerry, and you talked to me a couple months ago about multiple sclerosis, which I've had.
Oh, that's right. I remember you, Jerry. Go ahead. The clock's got us, Jerry, so a real quick question.
Okay, quick question. I've got a son that's 24. He's brilliant. He's at Sac State about to graduate. However, I can't seem to convince him of reality. And I want to know that I used great intention before, and I've learned so much from you. That's how I got you last time on the first call, and this time on the second.
Well, you know, that's good. Look, let me answer this for you very quickly. You just keep telling him he's got to use intention, because that's the only way he's going to be able to turn his life around. Simple as that. Ed, always, my friend, stay in touch, would you?
I will. Thank you for having me on.
Major Ed Dames, who's talking about the kill shot coming up this time. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.